Hi, this is Christina Tarode, news director for searchcio.com. Today I'm speaking with Agile project expert Joseph Flehief. Joseph has worked as the lead Agile project manager on several multi-million dollar enterprise projects. He recently became the president and CEO of Whitewater Projects, a firm that provides Agile project training and consulting services to enterprise organizations. Hi, Joseph. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for joining me today. So to start off with, I've heard you speak about enterprise project managers feeling like they are sometimes trying to fit a square peg into a round hole when starting an agile project. What are the problems that they're encountering?
What you're running into there, what people run into, is fundamental to the difference between running an agile project in an enterprise versus running it in a software company. So Agile was developed by software developers for running software product development in software companies. And the principles are great, and they found a lot of success using these principles and these approaches. So people have said, hey, well, let's apply it in our enterprise. Makes sense in small companies, so let's use it in bigger companies. And I'm not saying that software companies are all small that use it, but it's a different animal. So they try and apply it in an enterprise organization, and they run into roadblocks. And the roadblocks that they run into when they put it into an enterprise organization is that software is not the driving product of your company. So when you run into terms like the product owner, In Scrum, they talk a lot about the product owner. And in any Agile approach, you talk about, you know, having lots of contact with the software product owner. That's a full-time job that somebody in a software company, that's the title on their desk. It says, you know, product owner. And that in an enterprise organization is a role, not a job title, typically. And it is a role that we know that we need in Agile projects because we've been told that we won't be successful with Agile projects unless we have this product owner, a highly involved product owner. And so we find someone who has a full-time job, and we put this label on them. You're the product owner now. And so in addition to doing their full-time job, they're supposed to do this other full-time job. And it's not a surprise that that there's a problem doing that, right? So they don't have the time to commit to an Agile project that a product owner would have running an Agile project. That's one of the things that they run into.
Have you found that at all a way to kind of work around that? Are companies becoming more willing to actually dedicate someone to this now?
It is still a problem, and no, they're typically not dedicating a person to it. What I've found that works well is to, one, be aware of the problem. If you're not aware of this as a problem, you'll just bang your head against the wall. Well, my product owner's not involved enough. Well, they're never going to be involved enough, so don't expect it. And then take an approach that looks at, okay, that solution doesn't work in this context. What's the goal? The goal that you're striving for is to have someone who can represent the customer heavily involved in your project. Great. So maybe that's not a product owner, but it's a couple of people. And, you know, Agile purists are going to tell me that I'm sinning when I say that, but you know what? I live on this planet in the real world, and in the real world, that's what you run into. And it, again, if you're aware of it as a problem, then you can look at what's the source, what is the purpose of this role and what we're trying to accomplish, and find creative ways, like having a group of people represent the customer instead of just one person.
Is that the main problem that you're encountering, or is there another key one that comes up?
Another key one is that Agile was developed, and people aren't, even in software companies, they're not aware of this, but Agile was really developed as a product management approach, not a project management approach. And there's some fundamental differences between those two. A project is a particular piece of work, and PMI has a specific definition that says a project is a temporary endeavor undertaken to create a unique product, service, or result. It has a defined beginning and a defined end. A product, if you're doing product management, you don't have basically any of that. It's not a temporary endeavor. It's an ongoing endeavor. It may have a defined beginning, but it does not necessarily have a defined end. It may come to an end, but that's not, and it's not part of the definition of product management. Product management looks at, hey, we've got this product, a piece of software, and we want to develop it to create a customer base or to serve our customer base, and we know that their needs are going to be changing over time, so we're going to be continually growing and adding and changing this product by continually growing and adding and changing the features of it. So again, back to that product owner. In a traditional project, part of the role of the project manager is to control scope. And you've heard people talk about probably on agile projects that we don't try and control scope, and we don't. We look at scope as something that changes and moves. But if you're trying to approach it as a project with a defined beginning and defined end, then you'll be looking to control scope. And when that product owner adds features, you'll think that they're doing something wrong. But if you look at their role as the product owner of a product development lifecycle, then it is their job to come up with new features. If they're not coming up with new features, they're not doing their job. And so we really want them to be coming up with new features. And that's why Agile has this whole product backlog that we use. Adding features is very well defined, and it's an easy process in Agile because we want it. If you're not doing it, you're not doing your job. So that's another key thing that people run into is that it's a product development life cycle, not a project management cycle. Now, that said, a product likely has a life cycle with projects. There's you're going to have releases, and each of those releases can be viewed as a project, where you have a defined beginning and a defined end, but you need to look at it as a project that is working within the context of a product. And if you take that lens and can view your project as part of a larger effort to maintain and deliver a product, then you'll be able to implement Agile a lot easier because you'll have a broader view of what your responsibility is to the company. It's not just a limited view to a project, but you're here to help the company deliver a larger product to an internal customer most of the time. In enterprise organizations, the software development folks are usually a support organization that helps provide support services inside a company. Most of those services don't go straight into the customer's hands, but get served some way and serve the customer through the organization. So your customers are mostly internal in enterprise organizations.
Switching gears a little bit, I caught a recent webinar of yours where you talk about Agile project management, and you specifically talk about controls. Can you talk about what are, say, two main Agile project controls that you really should put in place?
One of the things to recognize is that there are different tools that are used in an Agile project versus in a traditional project. But the first thing you should do is mentally make a map in your mind. If you're a traditional project manager, mentally map those things to one another. So traditional projects, we consider the triple constraint, right? Scope, schedule, and budget. And in an Agile project, you want to figure out, okay, we've got things like a backlog and story points and velocity and burn up, all these new terms that we need to map to these old terms that we're used to. So let's just take scope and talk about it. There are two things that traditional project managers need to really understand to control scope. One of them is the product or project backlog. I say product or project backlog because of what we talked about earlier. And you want to consider the project scope, what you plan to deliver in your release, and be aware of the product backlog so that to control scope, just like on a traditional project, you get any new addition of scope and you consider it with the product ownership and the project sponsors to understand what's the impact of this scope addition to the current understanding of scope. And that can either change the schedule or change the budget or both, but that's a decision that the product owner needs to make and the project sponsors need to make. And if they decide that, no, we don't want to do that within the scope of this project, then it doesn't just go away in our minds as project managers, but we need to be aware, again, of the full context of the project that you're doing and the product that you're working on for the company. So then that feature goes out of your scope in the project and goes into the product backlog. I'm trying to be very distinct between project and product. That define the project backlog, this is what we're doing, and then you can control that scope by putting it either in the project backlog or the product backlog. The other thing that you use to control scope is an understanding of story points. Story points are the way we measure the size of something, the complexity of something, and the uncertainty of something, piece of work that's coming into the project. So if there's a new feature or a new request that product owner or some customer is requesting, you want to have the team estimate that and have them give you the story point value of that. That way you can then communicate to the product owner and sponsors, what's the impact of this on my scope and on my schedule? You look at the story points to see how big it is. The story points in combination with how fast the team is working will help you understand the schedule impact of that change.
What is a Gantt chart, and and why should you integrate it with your Agile project?
A Gantt chart is a chart that was developed back in 1910 to 1915, and it's very old technology. It's a way of showing the information about the project that you're doing and the relationship of the tasks and summary tasks, the work that is to be done within a project. It uses bars to show, here's a duration. Across the top of the Gantt chart is time. Across the left-hand column are all of the tasks in an outline kind of format. And so the lowest level tasks, most indented of the outline, are going to be the actual hands-on work that needs to get done. And it's a very common tool in traditional projects for communicating within a project team the work that needs to get done. There are some drawbacks to using it. And so your second question was, why would you want to use it? My answer would be, on an Agile project, you don't. I would prefer to not use them on an Agile project as much as possible. Couple of reasons. One, executives don't necessarily like seeing a Gantt chart. They don't really care about that level of detail in the relationships. The other reason is a Gantt chart isn't very good about showing the relative importance and prioritization of those low-level tasks. The lowest level, right, is the work that needs to get done. But on a Gantt chart, everything has kind of the same weight. There's ways to make it not have the same weight, but they're really complicated. And if you've used Microsoft Project, which is the most popular software for doing that, you know what I mean. You can add the weight value on there, and you can sort that way, but it's very cumbersome. And in an Agile project, we have other tools that allow us to do that, using a product backlog, a prioritized product backlog, and short iterations. On the other hand, sometimes we have to use a Gantt chart. Sometimes we work in organizations that are predominantly a waterfall or traditional sequential project management approach that use Gantt charts. They use them a lot. They use them to roll up data of the portfolio of projects, the whole scope of projects that the company is doing, to report on the overall project health to executives. In those kinds of organizations, you can't just dig in your heels and say, well, we're Agile, so we don't use Gantt charts. Sorry, you've got to help people. So part of playing nice in the pool is using a Gantt chart. I propose to people that they use something that I call a flat start model, which is to say, create your release in your Microsoft project or in your whatever software that you're using. Primavera is another popular one. But you create a release, and then under that you have all of the features that your Agile team is going to deliver in that iteration, in that release. But you don't make dependencies, unless they truly exist, between those tasks. And if you're writing good stories, they're independent of one another and can be released separately. So you put them all in there with the same start date, all at the very beginning of that release. And you say to your project team, this is what the product owner wants delivered. You've looked at it and said, yes, we can deliver that in this release. So I'm not, as the project manager, going to tell you anything about when you should start these. This is your backlog. These are the things that you want to deliver. And start them when you select them as a project team. Then the project team is responsible for it, and they can start them whenever they start them. Then you make the actual start date be the date that they pull that work into the iteration and start working on it.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Joseph.
Happy to be here.
This has been Christina Terode with SearchCIO.com, speaking with Joseph Flahief, President and CEO of agile consulting firm Whitewater Projects.